Appreciate Brother Donnie singing tonight. A blessing. And I was reading some here lately on the contemporary movement and the churches who have done away with their Sunday night and Wednesday night services. And some of those pastors have written about what it has created in their churches. And most of it's been very negative. In other words, the pastors are not for shutting down the Sunday night, Wednesday night services because here's the negative effect it has. One of the negative effect it has, as these pastors have found out, is you don't get to hear all your singers. You think about the other specials that we never get to hear. You know, I appreciate Brother Donnie, and I enjoy his singing very, very much. Well, I know I've been out of the pulpit a little bit. Nobody's complained, which is fine. I know I'm loved. I get it. I don't need the affirmation tonight. I'm all right. But I appreciate Brother Wiggins, and he's halfway through his series. He's so he'll be preaching at least he'll be preaching one more Wednesday night. Lord willing, if the Lord don't come back, amen. Doesn't mean he won't preach again. I'm just saying in the series on Wednesday night. So Brother Wiggins, you come on and preach for us.
I'm done. Moving on to glory. If the rapture takes place, somebody else can preach, right? I'm sure somebody will be left here, not in this group tonight, but somebody will. I believe the churches will be packed out 1 minute after the rapture, and I believe that with all my heart. And so anyway, Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 18 tonight. Then next Wednesday night, we'll finish up the chapter. I don't like just preaching off one verse, but I believe it gives us a start for the rest of the chapter and talk about the last two Wednesday nights that I have. We're going to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of misconception about what the filling of the Holy Spirit is, and I believe that it's very plain in the Scriptures. How false doctrines get started is not when people read their Bible and form an opinion after reading their Bible. False religions and bad doctrine starts whenever we think it in our head and we find a few Scripture in the Bible that agree with what we already think. And so we must be careful of how we approach the Bible. We should approach the Bible as empty vessels and say, Lord, speak to me through the Holy Spirit and allow my doctrine to come directly from the Bible, and not already having a preconceived idea in your head of what this should be and that should be, and then go to the Bible. Because you can find a verse just about everything. You know, if you believe in suicide, you can look at Judas and say, well, he did it, so I guess I can do it. You see how you pull things out of context, and so be careful with that. And so we'll notice in verse 18 a very, 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 very familiar verse. And it says in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 18, of course, Paul writes the book of Ephesians as a way of encouraging them to live the Christian life. And he tells them how to live the Christian life. And he says in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then, like I said, we'll finish the rest of the chapter next Wednesday night, the Lord willing. But tonight I want to talk about that verse, about not being drunk with wine, but being filled with the Spirit. And so tonight we'll talk about the filling of the Spirit, and we'll explain it after we pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. And Lord, tonight we come before you just as empty vessels. And Lord, humble as we can be, Lord, our hearts are, Lord, just tender tonight, God, ready to hear from your word. And Father, we pray that you would just fill us with your word. And God, as we hear your word, that we be filled with faith. And God, I just pray again that you would just meet with us, Lord, in power and glory tonight. Lord, certainly I have nothing to say of myself. And Lord, I want you to be heard tonight. I want, God, your word to be that sounding trumpet upon the hearts and upon the minds of your people. God, help us tonight, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, well, we talk about the two differences. What is the difference between the indwelling and the filling of the Holy Spirit? We've kind of talked about this a little bit before tonight, but the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a once and one time thing. All right. When you're saved, you are indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. But there are many fillings, kind of like my mouth. Yep, some of y'all get that in a minute. You know, I have many fillings in my mouth, trust me. But we can be filled every day of our life, and we'll talk about what that is. But basically, the filling of the Holy Spirit happens when the Spirit takes the driver's seat of our life and we become the passenger. And we allow Him to take control of our life. And so we'll talk about that. But when the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, truly controls a person's life, it is not for the manifestation of us showing off, such as the charismatic movement says, is that when you have the filling of the Spirit, that you'll be slain in the Spirit, that you'll speak in tongues, and it's all about a show. Trust me, I was raised up in that. I showed Pastor a video this week of this church that believes in being drunk in the Spirit. They got the verse mixed up. And the pastor, I showed it to him, and Kenneth Copeland was in that video too. And he was, you know, walking around like they're drunk, and the guy would go like that, and everybody would fall down, and that guy must have some very bad underarm. But you see what that is? That is showing that I have the power. That's showing that I'm superior to you. And by the way, the Holy Spirit, as we've studied, I hope that you've understood that the Holy Spirit wants no praise. He wants no glory. He points to Christ and the third person of the Trinity, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we see this, basically the Holy Spirit does not want the attention. He does not want the praise. And so when we see that this, the jibber-jabbers as we call it, and the slain in the Spirit, and the all of these things is happening in the contemporary movement, we must be careful, because there's another Spirit, and it's not the Spirit of God. Like I said, I've sat in the pew in the Assembly of God Church and watched these things happen. And I see these people, you know, and it was always the same people. And then you know how they live outside of church, and you're thinking it just doesn't match up. They put on a show for the church. And most of the time, too, it was ladies that did it. And, you know, they stand up, speak in tongues, fall out on the floor, and they'd have the little guy there with the little tarp. I call it a tarp. I don't know really what the technical name is. A sheet, and lay it over them, you know, so the dress doesn't come flying up. And, you know, and then they'd have guys catching them, you know. I was thinking, I'm pretty sure this is not what the Lord Jesus had in mind. I'm pretty sure we're at the opposite end of the spectrum of what the filling of the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit doesn't give you necessarily a supernatural ability that you can go out and walk on water and heal the blind. That we don't need that anymore. That's gone. And so we'll talk about some more of that here in a little bit. But the Galatians says in chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And then it goes on down verse 17. He says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that ye would." So in other words, why do we need the filling of the Spirit? It's because there's a war in our life. The war is between the flesh and between the Spirit. And in our life, we can either give in to the Spirit or we can give in to the flesh. Who are we going to live by? Are we going to live by the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit? I was explaining this to one of our classes today. I said, you realize that the name of the Holy Spirit tells us what He is. And it was like a light bulb went on. I was like, He is the Holy Spirit. That means without sin. That means the righteous one, which means He's God. Amen. The Holy Spirit is God in spirit form. You can't see Him, but you can see the effects of Him. Right. And I was like, oh, got it. That's what He is. And so when we think about the Spirit, if we're going to live a spiritual life, that means we're going to live a holy life. That means we're going to live a life that is right with God, that we're going to be in line with God and His will for our life. But if we live a life of the flesh, that simply means we just do what feels good and looks good, smells good. We have to be careful with that, don't we? Bluebell ice cream. Pastor sung the song for me the other day. But there is a war that's going on. The only way to battle, to win that battle that is within you, is to be Spirit-filled. Three things tonight about being Spirit-filled. What is being Spirit-filled? Number one, it's giving up. It's giving up. Being Spirit-filled is us giving up. Simply stating, it is us yielding. Now, Texans don't know what a yield sign is, but neither do apparently anybody. But a yield sign means you yield to oncoming traffic. Some of y'all go, oh. Many people thought that means yell. Instead of yield, it's yell at the person coming by. But what happens is you pull up to a yield sign, you're supposed to look, and if there's a car coming, you yield to them. In other words, you are not in control. In other words, you are preferring someone else. When we yield to the Holy Spirit, we're giving up. We're giving up. We're saying, it's not my will, as Jesus said, it's not my will, but thine be done, Lord. And as if we want to be Spirit-filled Christians tonight, we must give up. There's many times I just try and I try and I try, and then finally I give up and it works out. You ever been there? Like, boy, I mean, I'm trying, and all I can do, and all of a sudden I say, you know what, I'm just done. I give up. Lord, it's yours. You do it. And all of a sudden, poof, it's done. Man, why didn't I do that 2 days ago? Here I am worrying about this and discouraged over this, and I should just let the Lord have it anyway. Just giving up and allowing the Holy Spirit to control our lives. Romans chapter 6 verse 13 says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, which means flesh, giving into the flesh, but he says, but yield yourselves unto God. How do you do that? He goes on to say, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. How are you going to do that? You got to allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill you. You got to allow Him to take control of your life. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you know, there's a great illustration of that. It's when we're lost, it's that we're just an empty glove. When we get saved, we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That means the hand of God goes in our life. He's controlling our life. But whenever we lose that filling of the Holy Spirit, that means we take control of the glove again. We're still indwelt. The hand of God's still in our life, but we're not allowing Him to work through our life. We're not allowing Him to reach out to others. We're not allowing Him to work through our life. And sometimes I get that way. Lord, I got this. I know y'all never say that, do you? Yeah. Lord, I think I got a better way. We don't say that outwardly, but inwardly that's what we're thinking. We must be careful. We must give up. He says in verse 16 of Romans 6, he says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. In other words, we can yield ourselves to the flesh or we can yield ourselves to the Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, God, hey, control my life. I give up. I'm done. Why do we always have to go down that hard road before we finally say, all right, I'm done. It's kind of like, you know, playing bubble ball. Should have gave up before I got out there. But I had to go through it. Amen. All of us that Monday were like, or whatever, or Sunday was like, you know, we looked like Tim Conway, you know. You know, we was barely walking. And then he realized afterwards, I'm not what I used to be. Right? And sometimes in our spiritual life, it's that way when we wake up all beat up, bruised up, because we tried to do it our way instead of just giving up and let the Lord do it. He will take control of our life. We must give up. The second thing we see in the Holy Spirit filling, we must give over. We must give over to what? To God's will and not ours. We must trust that God can use our life. We give over. Romans chapter 12 verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Just as a drunkard gives his life over to that alcohol, to that liquor, whatever it may be, he is controlled by that. He has given up on his own will and has given into the will of that bottle. Not only was I raised in the Assembly of God Church, but I was raised in a drunkard's home. I remember every weekend, I would lay awake, and I know this is being recorded, but I would stay up every weekend. And that's why I even had trouble sleeping as a young man, because I'd stay up because I'd hear my dad. First of all, we wanted to make sure he drove home. There was times, this is no lie, there was times me and my mom had to go find his car and flatten his tires. I learned how to flatten tires like that without sticking nails in them. And we'd flatten his tires so he wouldn't drive home because he had wrecked so many times as a drunkard. Come home drunk, staggering in the home. And I remember, you know, as a kid having to live through those things, and here I am today, God's good, and my dad doesn't drink anymore. That's a hallelujah. And so, you know, having to deal with that, I realized that my dad said things to me when he was drunk that he would not say to me any otherwise. Why was that? Because the alcohol, he had given his life over to that alcohol. And I had said many times, if my dad had passed away, I would have set a bottle up on the pulpit and said, this is my father's God. that he had given himself over to. It came before his family. It came before his job. My dad almost lost his job because of that. Can I tell you that alcohol will ruin your life? But here it is. Alcohol don't just ruin your life. It ruins everybody's life around you. And I'm a product of that. And I thank the Lord my life was not ruined. God's in the recovery business, isn't he? He's in the reconciliation business. And that's why I'm here tonight. His grace is sufficient. And so as we look at alcohol, how it takes control over one's life, so must the Holy Spirit. We must give our life, not just give in, but also say, Lord, I give up on myself, but Lord, I'm giving my life to you. I'm giving my life over to you to do what you will with it. God, now be careful when you say that, because God will take you at your word. God will send you to Fort Worth, Texas, if you say that. You pick a place you don't want to go, that's where God will send you. And God will help you to love it when you get there. But as a young man, I gave in. Gave up to me. And I gave my life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you come down, you rededicate your life, that's what you're doing. You're giving up and you're giving your life over to Him and saying, Lord, whatever your will is. When you come and you do those baby dedications, as we do so many of them, the parent brings the baby down there and says, look, we're giving this baby over to the Lord. Whatever God wants to do with this baby, now you better mean it when you say it. By the way, I hate it in the day that we live in. People just do it as a ritual. And they really don't mean God do anything you want to this baby, but keep him in Fort Worth, Texas, and don't send him over to Africa, and don't let him marry this person. Don't do, you know. And we put stipulations on there, and God, would you sign down here at the bottom? That's what we do, eh? That's not Holy Spirit living. That's not living in fullness of the Spirit. That is saying, God, here's my will and a little bit of your will, sign it. No, what Spirit-filled life is us giving over and saying, God, here's a blank sheet of paper. Write what you want and sign it. God, whatever you want to do with my life. God, this is your life. He's the one that gave it to us anyway. Who are we to say, this is what I'm going to do with my life, God? We just had a man at our school last year was coming to Bible college. I forgot to tell you the story. Man at our Bible college, he had given his life over. In the later years, he had already retired, give his life over and to the Lord and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he felt like the Lord was calling him to do a specific thing. And during the summer, he got a job making good money. And so Brother Stewart called him. And he said, why would I come back to school? Today I'll make $800 just today. And of course, we wape over that. Because guess what? He left his wife and went back to drinking. Guess what's controlling his life now? The bottle is, the flesh is. Instead of the Holy Spirit, he give his life over. By the way, you can give your life over and you can take it back. That means you're not filled with the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God every day of your life is allowing God to have your life every day. Every day giving your life over. Then the last thing tonight is not only giving up, giving over, but it's giving in. What does that mean? That means don't fight back. Don't resist the Holy Spirit in your life. Just what I was just saying. Sometimes we can give our life over, up and over, but sometimes the giving in and what God is trying to do in our life and us just saying, you know what, God, I trust you with my life. I trust you with what you're trying to do. I'm surrendering and I'm complying with what you want to do in my life. So many people want to resist the Holy Spirit when He's trying to arrest us. Brother Ryan was telling us a story the other day how they were trying to make an arrest. And he said, one of the officers said, hey, Ryan, would you watch this guy? And Ryan said, yes, sir. And he turned around and the guy went, pew. You know what he was doing? Resisting arrest. We do that to the Holy Spirit. He wants to arrest our life. He wants us to give in to His will and don't resist it. And what do? Now my running's not very fast, right? But I do run from God. And I must allow myself to surrender to God's will and comply. I wrote this down. I hope this will be a help to you. I thought this was really good. Trusting that God will take you on a journey in His will. Maybe never truly understanding all that He does, but trusting that it is right. That's it. Just saying, God, I'm giving in to your will. Here's your will. Not only am I giving up on myself, I'm giving my life over to you. But God, when you show me your will, I'm going to give in to that will. That means being a spirit-filled. I'm giving in to what He has for my life. God says, here's what I want you to do, Michael Wiggins. And as a spirit-filled Christian, I say yes to that, Lord. Now, Lord, I don't understand that. But God, I trust you. In my life, there's been so many times I wish God would have said, Michael, here's what I want you to do, and here's why, and the end result of what you're going to do. I'd go. But God doesn't do that to us, does He? By the way, be glad God doesn't show you the end result, because you may never do the first thing. If God was to show us all of our lives at one time, we'd just go ahead and exit this place, because we wouldn't be able to deal with what God was going to put us through, because He had not given us grace for those times yet. But God says, Michael, I want you to do this. And out beside it, you know how when you sign your initials saying, yep, I agree with that. That's giving in. That's not looking at what God wants for your life and you weighing the options. Now, how much money will that get me? Now, Lord, if I give in to that, will I be able to do this? Now, Lord, okay, so if... No, it's just saying, God, here it is, and you just going... Psh, I'm giving in to it. Lord, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. Somebody say amen. Lord, I don't understand it, but God, I trust you. Michael Wiggins, here's your life. Go to Fort Worth, go to school. Work for Pastor Crawford. Check. That's not going to work out. Right? I want you to go work at a collectible store over in Arlington. Check. I want you to go to Bialabattery, Alabama, and work as associate pastor for 2 months. Okay. I want you to go pastor in Alabama for 5.5 years. Check. Oh, by the way, Mike, I want you to go be an evangelist for 1.5 years. Check. Lord, what in the world are you doing? Michael, I want you to go pastor in Burnett, Texas. What? Texas again, Lord? I'm signing away, giving in. Michael, I want you to go back and work for Brother Crawford, where you started. Best 2 out of 3, Lord? No. No, that's not what I did. Check. Don't understand it. Oh, Michael, I want you to work at a seminary. That was better than a cemetery. Lord, what are you doing? I don't know. And I may never know this side of glory. But I just keep putting my John Henry on there and saying, God, I'm trusting you. I don't know what in the world's going on, but I'm trusting you. Why? Because I want to be a spirit-filled Christian. I want to be a spirit-filled pastor, a preacher. Why? Because I want the Lord to direct me through His Spirit and say, hey, Michael, wherever I lead you, just give in to it. Because it'll be better than what you can get yourself into. Because trust me, I got over here and said, Lord, I think I got this. There was a time when the Lord called me into evangelism. Every evangelist had a motorhome or had a fifth wheel. I bought a motorhome. And in Birmingham, Alabama, had a nice motorhome with a Jeep behind it. Purchased it from a missionary. I said, Lord, this has to be your will, because it has scripture on it. And because every good evangelist has one. I pull out of Birmingham, Alabama, and I'm coming down Interstate 65. All of a sudden, chabah, chabah, bah. Last time I ever drove that motorhome. Still paying for it today. That was 12 years ago, whatever it was. See what happens whenever you get out of God's will? You'll pay for it for the rest of your life. You say, was that not the will of God for your life? But you know what? God still used it. I'm telling a long story, but my brother lived in it. My brother was lost. Well, the outside of it had almost the Romans Road on it. Inside of the motorhome, it was a missionary. It had about 20-something scripture inside the motorhome. My brother will stand in the pulpit, and he tells a story all the time of how whenever he was lost living in my motorhome, he said every day he couldn't get away from God because of that scripture. He said there was no way I could get away from God. He said the reason that my brother got saved was because of that motorhome. Well, I'm glad it cost me a lot of money for my brother to get saved. But it was worth it. You see, we sometimes don't understand, and even when we mess up, God can use it for the good. And in our life, we want to be Spirit-filled so we don't have to learn those hard lessons. So when God says, I want you to do this, we automatically just say, yes, Lord, I'll go, I'll do that. We give in to His will. You may not understand it, but God will be blessed and glorified through it. The reason the Holy Spirit sometimes is not working in our life is because we grieve Him or we quench Him by the things we do. Well, what do? James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. We just need to come to the Lord tonight and say, Lord, I'm submitting myself to you. When I married my wife 19 and a half years ago, I was on the altar with her, or on the platform with her. Our pastor was there. She was there. I was here. And pastor asked me, do you take Danya to be your awfully wedded wife, lawfully wedded wife? And I said, I do. You know what I did? I submitted myself to her. She submitted herself to me. And so far, it's worked out pretty good. I don't know. She got the bad end of the bargain. She just signed off on it too early. There wasn't many people in our town. Our town was real small, and there was only like five guys. And I was the only one that wasn't messed up too bad. So she's like, well, I guess I'll take him. I guess. He's the only one left. Now, here I am. I still wear the ring that reminds me every day that I'm still submitted to a woman that loves me and I love her. It's hard sometimes. I don't understand what God's doing in my life, but I sign off. Not the marriage is hard, but life is hard. And sometimes we don't understand, but we just keep saying, Lord, I give in. I submit myself to you. Lord, I'm giving up, I'm giving over, and I'm giving in. Because that's what happens when we are Spirit-filled. It's not my will, it's your will, God, in my life. And we'll talk about the effects next week of being Spirit-filled. The effects are there in the rest of this chapter. And there's going to be great reward for those who live Spirit-filled lives. Those who live a fleshly life, there's no reward for you. There's no crown in heaven for those who live a fleshly life. You're not going to get to heaven and live your entire life in the flesh and God saying, proud of you. No. There's no crown. There's no gem for that. The only crown and gems that we'll ever have in God are from a Spirit-filled life. And saying, God, not my will, but thine be done. Some of us here tonight, including me, every day need to be reminded, God, I give up, I give over, and I give in. And Lord, I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want you to direct my life today. Because you don't know what's going to be at the end of your day. You don't know what's at the end of the path of each day of your life. There could be a tragedy waiting. There could be a great joy waiting. There could be a calling waiting at the end of your life, at the end of your day. And you must be ready with a pen in hand saying, Lord, whatever it is. Now be careful, because the devil has a will for your life just like God has a will for your life. Some people sign the wrong contract. Must be careful. Make sure that it's of God. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Make sure we're in line with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we thank you for the night. Thank you for loving us. And Father, tonight we thank you for your Spirit that lives in us. And Lord, just because He lives in us doesn't mean that He controls us like He should because of us. God, we have to give up, we have to give over and give in to your will and to the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. So Father, help us all tonight just to examine our life and to see where we're at. God, if we're in the driver's seat or if we're in the passenger seat of our life, God, are you being allowed to steer us and control us in your will? Or, Lord, are we steering ourselves in our will? And, God, we know that that's not going to lead to the pleasant places that you would have us. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, as alcohol takes over a body and takes over the control of a man and of a woman, God, must we give in to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to control us? And, Lord, how He'll help us, and, Lord, how He'll guide us. We thank you again for all that you do, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, if you'll come, lead the invitation.